Going on, everybody. It's your host, Rob Michon of Hunting Out Loud. And today we've got one of my very first guests, Cody Cornwell, started this thing with me. And you're going to be the last one for 2018, Cody. I'm not going to do no more. I'm going to end up with you. What's going on, Cody?
Oh, not much, man. It's going good getting through the holidays.
I tell you, seems like you put them Christmas lights up and then Right back down. The older you get, time starts flying.
It does, man. This year, it don't seem like the year. We blinked and it's gone.
I mean, it seems like we was just running cameras on our minerals this summer.
Hunting turkeys. I mean, it don't seem like no time.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, crazy.
Now, here we are passing time, which I know you, since the last time you've been on here, you took your Ohio buck, and we'll talk a little bit about that. You've been to Mississippi duck hunting, and all you waterfowl hunters, I know how you are secretive. But Cody may share a little bit of share a little info, for people who want to get out there and get started, but he ain't gonna give too much away. So Cody, other than your buck and your waterfowl, and we'll get into all that.
Yeah.
Do you do much predator hunting, during the winter, just to fill the gaps? You mostly on the waterfowl.
I'm into ducks. I'll be honest, I've never killed a coyote. I've never killed a bobcat. I've had some chances hunting, but just it never worked out to get a shot at one or nothing. But as far as actually going out and hunting them, I've been out a couple times with some buddies after duck season, but, February. But, man, I'm so run down from turkeys, fishing, mineral season, Ohio ducks, and I just kind of relax and make up for some of that lost time with the wife and kids and stuff. And that's why I don't shed hunt much because of that. I'd love to. I want to, but just don't have the drive, man, after duck season. I'm killed.
You can only do so much.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to go duck hunting this year.
But nobody, nobody really calls me up and invites me, and stuff. And I don't want to be like a.
Well, we'll have to go.
I wouldn't care a bit to go. I'd love to go.
If you find one free day or something. And I'll tell you, I just started last year.
Yeah.
And I was about like you. It was either that or waterfowl.
Yeah.
And of course, I didn't know, or I still don't know anything about waterfowl, but I'm starting to learn a little bit from you and some of the other guys I've talked to and been YouTubing a little bit, of course. is there a good YouTube?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's several
for duck hunting.
Higdon Outdoors is really good. Tony Vandermore, Habitat Flats, is great. Dr. Duck, okay. Dennis Luger. There's several. There's several good ones on there.
You know how I like those.
Yeah, several. I'm trying to remember. He had to change his name there, but he started out the Kansas Fisherman.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to look his name up here before I'll even give it. But he changed his name on YouTube to more of like an outdoorsy type, like a outdoor type name. But he's just a big college kid, man, at GoPros and self films his duck hunts on these public land WMAs and stuff, dude, and man, it's sweet. He kills a lot of ducks. Mm-hmm. It's a good show to watch.
Well, I tell you, before we get into everything we're talking about YouTube right now, this is it. This is the last episode for 2018. You pretty much started it with me here early, and you're getting into some other things, which I think is good.
Oh yeah,
good for you and your personality.
And
all the ways, the things that you love to do and stuff. And, but going into 2019, I want to tell you all there's going to be some big changes here. I'm going to have a YouTube channel. I already have it up, but I haven't started putting anything on it. And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do with that YouTube channel is when I have guests like Cody or something, if he gets time to go out in the field, maybe do some it's going to be all informational stuff. It's not going to be me up in a tree just shooting a deer or anything. I mean, if I get that, I get it.
Yeah.
But everything I put on this YouTube channel will probably be around 10 or 12 minutes, informational stuff. I'm going to try to, if I can get David French to go out there, show us a little bit on trapping. Cody, go out there and show us a little bit on waterfowl, you know. Yeah. I mean, we might go waterfowl hunting. I may just film him for 10 or 12 minutes, teaching us how they fly in, how to set up.
Yeah, decoy spreads.
Decoy spreads. Scout. Calls.
Which is scouting is,
yeah,
main. It is key for waterfowl. More, I'm not going to say more key than deer. Cause, I mean, to be successful, you got to scout, period. But
yeah,
waterfowl, man, scouting is the number one key to it.
And that's what we're going to do on this YouTube channel, be hunting out loud. You know, of course, we have all kind of big buck hunters around here, and we'll go out in the field with some of them. I'm talking about during this winter, while we're going to be putting the minerals out, we'll go out with some of them, show you why they're putting the minerals out and where they're putting them out and the reason they're putting them in those places. So, I mean, from duck hunting to trapping to fishing, you name it, when we have a guest on, if it's outdoors, we're going to try to get the camera on them, informational stuff to help all of us be better outdoorsmen. That's one difference we're going to shoot for. And then there's some other things I can't talk about right yet. I ain't even told you, Cody. I ain't told nobody. I've been contacted about some other things that's pretty big, but you know, we'll see how it goes. And I have a few meetings, so we'll see what happens with all that. Pretty excited about it, but you all know how I am. I got a big mouth, so I'll probably blow that. But anyways, gotta keep it real, don't you?
Yep. That's
well,
right.
You want to talk about excited. A little bit about, well, I mean, you know, I'm just at that age. You know, when I was younger, when I was in my 20s, I would look at them guys in their 40s and 50s like, man, that guy don't give a crap. Well, when you get that age, you don't give a crap. Yeah. I mean, you can see the end.
Exactly.
So, anyways, Cody, let's start with your buck, your Ohio buck. And now, well, let me go forward or on back to Hoss.
Yeah.
You know, Hoss and you know, the strategy there with Hoss, the minerals and locating him, you know, starting in January.
Yeah.
Putting your minerals out in February and March and all that, that come into big play all the way up until you located Hoss. And we talked about it, and y'all can go back and listen to that episode about Hoss.
Yeah.
That's a totally different game, hunting early season in Kentucky,
compared to
what you did in Ohio.
Yeah.
Now, Ohio, you was in November, right?
Yeah, November the 9th.
So, you know,
yeah,
traditionally it's rut time.
It's getting started, you know.
Why don't you talk a little bit about that buck? And this buck didn't have a name or nothing, did it?
No, it was public land, no history, no pictures. First time in, I knew he was a shooter. You know, Josh Bernard, I'd met Josh through the podcast. Mm-hmm. I've made a ton of friends through this,
and stuff.
But I'd met Josh, and we got to talking, and, you know, we had talked about Hoss the night him and Travis was down and stuff, and well, I guess when he had seen that I'd killed Hoss, you know, he messaged me and congratulated me and stuff. Mm-hmm. And we exchanged numbers and phone called, you know, and talked about it and stuff. We just texted off and on through the season, you know, just checking in on each other, seeing how the season's going and what you're seeing and stuff.
Camaraderie, man.
Yeah. And Josh, you know, he invites me up. He's like, you know, you need to come up here and hunt some public up here with me, you know. And I was like, yeah, you know, I will. I'll get with you. And just, you know, I was already in my spots I had confidence in. I knew the areas. I'd been successful in those areas. And I was in there. But, man, you know, I wasn't seeing the deer like I normally do in the areas. And I got a trail cam picture of a good deer I was after. But, just, man. It was just a dead sea, man, this year over there. Just like, it was probably as far as just deer movement in general. It was a bad year over there for me.
What do you think it was now? Cause I went over, even though I tagged down, I think it was acorns.
Cause
everything seemed like it was down low from what I could tell. And of course there was no acorns at the time.
Well, like you even, you know, you give me the coordinates on that stand you had up there, and I went
nothing
and killer spot, but no acorns,
no scrapes or nothing up there.
No, nothing. No, there was no acorns, you know, and it was just tough.
No food, no reason.
It was tough for everybody.
Yeah,
and that I talked to. I mean, Josh still hasn't got, you know, his tag filled. Josh has had a rough season.
Well,
he's been after it, but before
you go too much farther, speaking to Josh, and I mean, I hope we'll get Josh back over here. I know he's got a lot of, things going on and stuff with the kids. He had a lot of time in the woods, but, I know he was on a big one. He had been chasing it, and someone took it, and which that happens, and it was good, and I know he's
taking it. Oh, yeah, it was a family member,
And that was another world-class deer, but listen, when you're after bucks like that, that's part of it, and we've talked before. Like I said, we want everybody to come together, I love hunting big bucks. Yeah. You love hunting big bucks. Some people don't. But what I love more than anything is I love hunting. And like we talked earlier, it's going
to take us. Just being a part of it.
It's going to take us all to keep it rolling.
Exactly.
Together instead of being divided.
Exactly.
But when you hunt big bucks like Josh.
Yeah.
I mean, you get on a buck and you get locked in on a buck the caliber Josh was on.
Yeah.
Do or die.
Well, we'll let him tell the actual thing, but. He had been on this, he had put all his intel together and had narrowed it down to a 1 week of the year where he was actually, he thought the deer was killable.
Mm-hmm.
And he had took his vacation for that time. Well, the day before he started his vacation, one of his family members was hunting a property close to it and killed the deer the day before. I felt bad for him, but.
He was happy, but for the guy that took it, but that's what I'm saying, before people jump on to those guys that kill them big bucks, trust me, there's a lot of pain and a lot of time and a lot of work and
hardship. It's good though to see somebody that puts the time in like you out to kill it other than just somebody that really could care less that just does it for a social status.
Yeah, it was good to see him,
but
that other fella take it. But, when you're on one like that, you're putting all your eggs in one basket.
That's exactly right.
It's not like you're hunting two 180 plus or whatever at the same time. It's that or nothing.
Exactly.
And, now when this buck gets tagged, and like I said, we'll have Josh come over. He tells a story. He had a history with it, but. And here's the game that you're playing for y'all that don't understand what it takes to kill a monster buck like this. When that buck gets tagged, now Josh is starting from scratch when the season is pretty much
finding another deer.
Over.
Yeah.
It's pretty tough to even locate another one at this time.
Yeah.
So, just understand.
He's getting into the duck waterfowling with me. What do you think?
Yeah.
We've been going, so it kind of helps ease the pain, something else to do, but, but back to my Ohio buck, me and Josh had planned a weekend there, a day to meet up and hunt, and family, family stuff
came up.
It ended up didn't work out. We couldn't go. It was all right. We planned it for another time. Well, man, the rain had come in. It was November the 9th. It was a couple of days before that we talked. He got off work that morning and was coming up, and my wife had worked the night before, and, I was like, she's got to get some sleep. I'm watching the boys and stuff. I was like, when she wakes up midday, I'll head up.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'll bring a set up. We'll just do a hanging hunt. He's like, man, I got a climbing stand right here. If you want to use this climber. He said, we'll just go in on this public and we'll just split up and hit it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we was talking beforehand, he had a friend he worked with. That he had on this piece of public hunting. And like a couple of days before, I was supposed to go up and hunt with him. He's like, dude, and we was kind of torn between what area to hunt. He's like, man, so and so, he said he killed a buck this morning. I'm going to go help him drag at a buddy of mine. I was like, well, awesome. And, it's about a 115 class 8 point, but Josh was talking to him. He's like, dude, yesterday, I seen the biggest 8 point I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, he was coming right up this logging road. He's like, and he winded me. He's like, he just whirled out. And, he was talking about all these different bucks he was seeing in this area.
On their feet, weren't they?
Yeah. And I told Josh, I said, man, I was like, if he's seeing that much buck movement, I said, it's probably a doe getting ready to come in.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, is that public? Can we get, he's like, yeah, we can get on that property. I was like, well, I said, I think that's where we need to go. He's got his tag. I was like, let's go in there and see if we can, there's a lot of different bucks coming in. And, so we get over there and we get back in this place and it was raining. and the front was supposed to clear out around 3. So we get back in there on this piece of public. I mean, we're way back in there. Well, there's a timber pond down to the left, kind of like this ridge goes out and it wraps around. And there's some finger points, kind of drops back off this ridge and kind of funnels all down to this little timber pond.
Mm-hmm.
Big thicket around it. And I love the way it looked.
Mm-hmm.
So Josh, I said, man, I said, I think I'm going to go down in here. He's like, all right. He's like, I'm going to go on out to the right. He said, I'll probably be 700-800 yards from the way a crow flies.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I go down there, and I've never been on this piece of ground in my life. I've never even looked at it on the map.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see any, like, rubs or scrapes or no sign, but it just looked good. And I was just up there to hunt. I was just going to hunt with a friend, you know, just see what happens. I get down in there on this. The back end of that pond kind of makes like a saddle, and it comes up his finger point, which was to my left where I'd set up. And I was sitting there, and the rain had cleared out. And I'm sitting there, and the sun's starting to come out. It's nice. And Josh texts me. He's like, did you get settled in? I'm like, yeah. I was like, everything's good. You seen anything? I was like, no, I ain't seen anything yet. I was like, what about you? He's like, I've seen a spike in 2 does. I was like, dang, man, he's already seeing deer, you know? Mm-hmm. I was like, hey, we'll see what happens. And I'm sitting there, and it's real wet, quiet in the woods. You know how it is. Mm-hmm. And I just catch a glimpse. I look, and here's a doe. She's coming right. She comes right out the back edge of that pond, and it's coming right up that finger point, right to me.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm going to grab my bow, you know? Just I grab my bow, and I'm sitting there, and I'm watching her. And I hear a grunt. But like I said, this ain't a long story. I mean, but it's just, it's a textbook rut hunt.
Yeah.
And I hear a grunt. And, man, I look down over the hill behind her, and all I could see is tines and beams.
It's like, on, wasn't it?
Yeah. He was like, he wasn't really chasing. It was kind of like she was coming in.
Mm-hmm.
He was staying about 25, 30 yards behind her, just kind of following her.
Just hanging out.
Making sure nobody, nothing else got to her.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets closer, and I'm like, wow, that's 130-some class deer. You know, I'm taking this deer if I can stand up. And, man, it happened so quick. I ranged this little opening he was coming up towards. And, man, she brought him right through there. I mean, you couldn't ask. The good Lord's son was right there. He walked right up there, and I double-lung him at 30 yards. And he goes down the drain ditch, and he goes back up the hill, and he runs 45 yards maybe, and he just falls over.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like,
he's over.
Are you kidding me? You know,
can't believe
and
I've
been grinding in Ohio, you know, before then trying to, which I knew the good hunting, because I like, honestly, I like that youth gun weekend, that later, November 18th through the 23rd. I kind of like that right before the gun season. I've always seemed like I've seen more mature bucks on their feet during that time.
I think I have too.
This is the earliest I've ever killed a nice buck in November. And, I was like, you know, just like that, man. I mean, it was
done.
Oh man. And I called you that night. You know, I called everybody. I was like,
oh yeah.
I punched the tag, you know, I got him, and they're like, well, how big is he? I'm like, he's a 130 class deer, I'm pretty sure. I said, I don't know if he's an 8, a 9, or what. I said, he had 4 on one side, and he was good, and I was tickled to death. And I called Josh, and Josh was like, shoot. He's like, I just got my jacket on. He said, oh, yes, I'll take it back off now. He's like, oh, get. He's like, I'm coming, you know. And we got to see him there, and he, big, solid, pretty 8-point, and score don't matter, but just to give you all an idea of what caliber deer he was. He guessed around 135, and Josh didn't really guess, you know, but he's thinking, yeah, you're probably right. And we scored it, I mean, legit, as close as you, without having official score, I mean, best you could, and he grossed 142.5.
See, main beans and mass.
And Josh netted him, and he netted 138.5.
That's pretty good, ain't it?
It's a dandy, public land 8-point.
That's a good one on private land.
Oh, that's a good one anywhere. I'll shoot that anywhere.
That's a dandy.
But, that was, and man, and, you know, me and Josh just kind of bonded our friendship right there. And it was
blood brothers then.
Yeah, man, it was, I mean, I thanked him, you know, for, you know, not a lot of guys are going to do that.
No.
You know, Josh didn't know me very well. And
yeah.
He just from the time I met him, he just seemed like, my type. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just he, me and him was, you know, we were friends.
He's a pretty good guy.
You know, yeah. Especially anybody that hunts. Man.
I'm gonna show you.
I can be best friends.
Oh yeah. I'm gonna show you, and I forgot about it, but I found some pictures of Josh when he was young.
Yeah.
And he's holding a set of sheds that you won't believe.
Yeah.
Someone ended up killing this deer. There's a story behind it. Josh will tell you after I show you that. I'll give you that picture and you can give it to, Josh when you see him.
Okay.
But, it's over 200.
Yeah.
Over in Ohio somewhere. I don't know. Like I said, he'll tell you the story on that thing. So Josh has been, hitting it hard for a long time.
Yeah.
Himself, and he's been all about them big bucks.
Yeah.
Since he was a kid.
His boys are in sports, soccer, basketball, and he's not getting a whole lot of time, but, you know, it's just part of it, man.
Well, I'll tell you, one of these days, you guys are going to be in my shoes, and they're going to be going out the door. And
I know.
That's not good.
No.
I mean, I have all the time in the world to hunt. That's why I'm doing this podcast, but,
Christmas kind of reminds me of that every year when I sit there and I go, you know, my boys are young, but man, there ain't nothing better in the world than sitting there and watching them open them gifts and
I tell you, it's all you can do. I'm just an old man. I'm old. Mine's 18. Is all you can do is just prepare them, man.
Yeah.
Cause we got to turn them loose.
Yep.
And then it's,
yep.
It is what it is.
Once
they get there and they walk out that door.
Yep.
There's no more teaching.
No. Man, when I grew up, I thought my parent ring, son, I got my honey and busted daily. I was
happy for that now,
you know,
sure.
And I was always saying, like, back home, man. You know, and I'd go to friends' house where her parents didn't whip them or punish them. And I've seen some of them, kind of the way they talk to their parents. I was kind of like, wow.
Talk to your parents.
Knocked out doing that. But, you know, and I was always kind of thinking, like, back home, my parents are mean, you know.
Yeah.
When I grew up and got older and started raising kids of my own, I told each one of them, I thanked them forever, whooping I ever got.
Oh,
I told them, I said, I didn't realize it then. I was like, but, cause I think as parents, like I said, I think that's the whole reason a lot of the hunting numbers are down too. Everybody's looking for that easy button. It's too much work. Nobody wants to work, you know, participation trophies. Everybody's feels like they need to be given something. And, I mean, it's just, man,
there's so much that plays into that. And I know that,
you know,
I had Jason on. We won't get too far into that. Jason Jones there the other day. And, you all, check Jason out. He started a page, The Opinionated Hunter.
Yeah.
And Jason's a good guy. I don't know if you ever kept up with Jason.
I know
Austin.
Who he is. Yeah.
But, you know, obviously Austin uses a crossbow.
Yeah.
And he's seen that article, someone bashing crossbows. Of course, well, it hit home with Jason. I can imagine it did.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, like I said, we're all hunters. But, you know, he had wrote that article about it, or that post about, well, then has bow hunting killed hunting as a whole?
Yeah.
Which he don't believe that.
Yeah.
But, you know, people, after they see the first part, they don't read the whole thing.
Yeah.
They're already pissed off and blowing up. And,
yeah.
What's he talking about? Archie's killed honey.
Yeah.
And that wasn't it. But, you know, there was a lot of truth into that. And I'm prime example.
Yeah.
Because bow hunting does consume all my time.
Okay.
Hunting. Because that's all I want to do.
Yeah.
And that's what I love. I'm not,
yeah.
You don't have to apologize for it. There's nothing wrong with that. And Jason wasn't saying there was anything wrong
with
it. But I will say, no one needs to go out and squirrel hunt or rabbit hunt or quail hunt or whatever. That's not what he was saying. He was just saying it consumes all our time now. When used to, it was just a secondary thing after gun.
Well, because it's a challenge. And when you're
successful,
it's rewarding.
It's
very
rewarding.
But
I understood what he was saying. And if you think about it that way, it really does take a lot of our time up. I mean, it will mine in 2019 because I'm going to be starting next month, putting minerals out already in January.
Yep. Shed hunting and doing all the
next
trip
thing
work.
You know,
June
and July, we'll be putting cameras up.
We'll
September,
be back in a tree.
We'll be, after our early season, Kentucky bucks with a bow, and then we'll be on to Ohio, Kansas, and wherever else.
Yep.
But, you know,
well,
bow hunting is king right now.
Yeah.
That's what we all love
well,
to do.
Well, yeah, technology, man, has just took over the world. I mean, society's changed, so much. It's, like I was saying, everybody's looking for that easy button. You know, everybody's everybody feels like they're entitled to something, you know?
Oh yeah. It's even just, deer.
And like, it goes back to like spoiling your children, and it's hard not to. Mm-hmm. It's very hard not to, but if you're not preparing these, your kids for life without you,
mm-hmm.
you failed them tremendously.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if
that's
they,
exactly right.
You failed them. I mean, you have failed as a parent. I mean, some of you may not like to hear that, but
it's the truth.
It's the truth. I mean, it really is, because I'll just be honest with you. I mean, 90% of my 85% of my friends I went to school with and people I grew up with that were spoiled and had everything handed to them, didn't have to work. I mean, their parents were good people, but, and they had good means, you know, and mm-hmm. they could do it. And it's easy to get caught up in that. I mean, I find myself doing things. I'm like, man, I need to quit. He's spoiling him. He's getting disrespectful.
Called loving him to death.
Yeah. And, exactly. And mm-hmm. exactly. And, about 80% of them are in rehab and jail.
I know. Well,
they,
you know,
or something. You know what I mean?
It's not being hard. And, you know, talking about the kids and the entitlement, and I'll tell you, I told my son, Greg, I think you met Greg.
Yeah.
He's just a humble kid.
Oh, yeah, great kid.
You know, and he's a superstar and all this, but yeah. you never know. He don't run his mouth like I do. But I'll tell you, I told Greg just what you were saying. I said, Greg, you know, I said, you're going to be defined by your opportunities.
Yeah.
The ones you take advantage of. And the yeah. ones that you let slip away. And that's
yeah.
the bottom line.
Yep.
There's no other way to look at life. It's going to be the ones you take advantage of and the ones you let slip away will define you.
Yeah.
And I said, if I am not here tomorrow on this earth,
yeah.
can you take care of yourself?
Exactly.
And I said, if you can't, you better get to working, because you just never know.
Yep.
You know, and like you said, you have to prepare them children. And, you know, as far as the kids and the hunting and the youth hunting, I mean, you know, we can, you know, us harping at each other for crossbows, bows, guns, whatever. That is not killing hunting. That's stupid for
yeah.
people doing that, or
yeah.
you killing a basket rack, or someone killing a monster buck, whatever. That's just us acting like idiots on social
yeah, exactly.
media. But I don't believe that's killing hunting.
No.
But it is, it does come down to you.
Yeah.
You know, when Kyle Gross, he's in his early 20s, Jake Corngable, you know, when they're my age, I believe they'll still be hunting. But the generation
yeah.
behind them, I do wonder.
Don't,
yeah. Do you?
I wonder all the time. Because, man, I go to all of it. My kids are 8 and 5, and I'm at these little sport games and these little school events and seeing all these other kids. And, man, it's like, and their parents hunt and
yeah.
stuff like that. But it's like, they're just, it's
well,
totally different, man. I mean, man, I remember when I was their age. I had my little clique of buddies. I hung out. We talked about hunting. We talked about
mm-hmm.
now they're talking about Fortnite and just
and that is,
you know, and
that's
it's
a
just,
big thing.
I mean, and it is, and it's not really their fault. Just society that's out there. That wasn't out there when we was.
So when the
know,
hunting is gone, where's the guns going?
Exactly.
Who's going to stand up for the guns?
Exactly.
And when the guns are gone.
Exactly.
You
I'm
know
doing,
what's going on there.
Yep, I'm doing my best to raise mine just like I
yeah.
was.
And there's a few things, like I said.
And sports, man.
Sports.
Sports
see,
is so, people don't understand that sports, man. Like, sports teaches kids so much about life lessons.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can relate it to holding a job. You can relate it to, you know, like the boss coming down on you for screwing up.
Everything.
You can relate sports.
I'd be a team.
Sport, yeah, sports can teach you every single thing. If, I mean, whether you play sports or not, sports, man, is, I mean.
And right there again, we talk about kids from my day and even when you was young.
Yeah.
Compared to now, there's only so much time. Okay, when I was young, we probably played 20 basketball games. We might have played 20 baseball games. Now, an 11-year-old kid is going to play his little league, then he's going to play travel ball, ask Josh Bernard.
Yeah.
And before you know it, they might have 80 or 90 games in. And
yeah.
if they play soccer or any other sport.
Yeah.
When are you hunting? You season?
I know it.
So.
I know it. Man, I remember showing up late for practice because I was squirrel hunting, me and Dad.
Yeah.
But, you know?
But you're not going to do that now and compete
no.
because.
No.
And then back then, if you was just halfway athletic, you was gonna make the team. I mean, now all these kids are athletic.
Oh, shoot.
Seems like.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going against us. It's no one's fault, I don't think.
No.
But
the world's changed, man.
The world's changed.
Times have changed, and I'm sure, like, when my dad was younger, like me, growing up and seeing the kids thinking, man, these kids ain't nothing like we was, you know. But it just, everything changes, but I just feel like just the more, you know, the morals and just life, that don't change. Mm-hmm. You should still instill just from the old days to now, just society and the way the world works is different, but when you get into morals, and
should be the same.
Should always be the same.
But who knows what might happen. You know, I had my my stepson in from UK, and, you know, he's big time. He's an architect, graduated from UK, and
yeah.
And we was talking, you know, of course, he's the millennial, I guess, or
yeah.
whatever, and we was talking, and he said the baby boomers covered up the hardwood floors with carpet, and he said, us millennials are removing the carpet and redoing the hardwood floors. So
yeah.
You never know.
Yeah.
And I do see some things kind of, as I've looked into it, pointing in our direction as far as there's more women hunters
yeah.
now than what they ever been. I mean, they're on the rise.
Yeah.
You know, we have archery in school. In
oh, shoot, yeah.
We have
bass fishing teams
in schools. I tell you what I like to see, and I don't know. There's no way they could do it in school, but I think another way we could get kids involved is shooting traps, skeet, whatever you
yeah.
want to call it. And you can do that anytime.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it when we're
yeah.
all busting the
yeah.
white oaks, you know,
yeah.
bow hunting. But, you know, deer hunting's probably the most boring thing you could take a kid doing right off the bat. We all know
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
That's beating a dead horse, of course. But, you know, trap shooting, that is something that,
yeah.
that kids, that,
yeah.
that's exciting.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember doing it when
yeah.
I was young. I loved it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I feel like, too, I mean, this could go either way, but I feel like a lot, too, because this way my dad was with me, and I think a lot of people try to get their kids into it too early.
I do, too. I think you cannot bore them.
You know, yeah, you can't do it, because I remember I mean, other than going squirrel hunting with dad and stuff, but, you know, going with him, but, you know, you're moving, you're doing mm-hmm. stuff squirrel hunting. It's just not like you're sitting in a blind or a tree or something, just waiting. But, I remember, man, my dad would go, and I was probably 11 or 12 before I got it, where I was actually, you know,
yeah.
actually going out hunting with him and actually, and being successful. But I feel like dad done the right thing too, because I was a little more mature about, as far as understanding what he's telling me to do. Mm-hmm. And stuff. And I just feel like, I would wait. I couldn't, it just made me want to go even more. The older I got, I was like, man, when can I go?
Yeah.
You know, seeing dad bring back all these deer. I mean, do you remember Rankin's down on 23
mm-hmm.
toward?
Oh yeah.
It's
not there no
state?
More.
No. Yeah. It was a Chet right
oh,
below
yeah.
Bernal
mm-hmm.
or the BP and Giovanni's.
Mm-hmm.
That used to be the check station. My dad's got so many pictures of just big bucks he's killed, me right there, mm-hmm. little, sitting with him. Mm-hmm. There when I had the check station there.
It's a good old check station.
Yeah.
Everyone I talked to, you know, that was around for the check stations.
Yeah.
That was a big, big deal.
Oh yeah,
everyone.
You could go in every one of them, you go in there, they had a big billboard on the wall, just the little shake photos just tacked to it, just
mm-hmm.
of everybody. You know, it was like a little local.
I loved it.
Yeah, Fallsburg Grocery, you could go in there where I live in Lawrence County. They right? go in and see everybody's kills and talk and stuff. But yeah, I think you can, as far as getting them outdoors and getting them interested, you know, it's a good thing. Take them on that, like those little fish, bluegill fish.
Yeah, you don't want to start about musky fishing.
Yeah,
bluegill
no,
fish.
But you know, where you're sitting on these little brush piles and you're just wearing the bluegill and crappie
yeah.
out, you know, and occasionally you get a bonus bass in there on, you know, and catch them. And it's fun for them. And squirrel hunting, you're walking, you know, and stuff. And turkey hunting can be exciting too. But deer, I think you can start them too early on some
too.
Of that stuff.
And you know, I don't know how many people is on here listening that don't hunt. So I know, you know, most of you
yeah.
listening, you guys know all this stuff, but you know, for someone out there just come along and listen to this, I will tell you, if you don't want your kids getting in trouble, get them in the woods because we ain't got enough money to do anything else.
Exactly. Billy. No. Heck no.
They say if you don't want them doing drugs, get them in the woods.
Look at me, I got a deer mount, one deer mount, getting ready to have two deer mounts this year. Duck hunting trip to Mississippi. Mm. I mean, everything it takes for that, it's expensive.
It's expensive. And you know, in sports, I mean, the role models in the NBA and the NFL, I mean, they're so political and it's just make you sick.
Used to not be that way. I don't ever remember hearing Michael Jordan talk about the
players. And he still don't. You got LeBron out there flapping his gums about stuff he don't have a clue about.
Exactly.
He's calling. I don't know. And I'm going to tell you, and I read this today while I was in my crane with a hard hat on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
With muddy ass boots on, watching guys down there with a torch.
Yeah.
Guys over here welding.
Yeah.
And, it's break time I come across and you know how stuff will pop up on your social media and it's LeBron flapping his big mouth, and he's like, the white NBA owners are like slave drivers.
That.
And I was like, slave? I don't remember slaves making millions and millions of dollars. Do you?
No.
And I was thinking, buddy, you want to come over here and work for me?
These guys are entitled. Anybody's entitled.
I'm working for a big corporation that's owned by white people too, but I'm making considerably less.
Mark
than
Wahlberg had a good, or was it? I think it was Mark Wahlberg. It might have been Matt Damon. One of them celebrities had a good kind of quote on that. He felt like, like professional sports players and like Hollywood actors stuff, like they can't relate to the average everyday working American. Their lifestyle and world's totally different than what ours is. They don't have to worry about money. They don't have to worry about financial. I mean, unless they're just plain stupid, just blow it. Every second of the day. But I mean, it's just. They're totally different. You have just play ball, make your millions, and set examples for the youth and good. Don't
set
like
example.
You said, they're too political. Man.
Don't all the division. I mean, here's the thing. All the things he could say. He could say he hates Trump or. He can say whatever he wants, but I mean, when you say that the NBA owners, which I'm sure they're a bunch of douchebags, but they're a bunch of white slave drivers, and you cannot say they're white slave drivers when you're making multi-millions.
Yeah.
I mean, millions and millions
of dollars.
To play basketball. That's a slap in the face to a lot of people.
To everybody that buys your jersey,
I don't care what
all your gear that come support you.
Don't say white.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm tired of that.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna tell you why. Because it's bullshit.
Yeah.
It's division, and that's all it is to it. I want to tell you something. If a white guy come out, a big celebrity come out, and start talking about black people, you know what white people would do? All of us. we would off with him.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't be scared to say it. But see when. Yeah. A black guy does it, and I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
Everybody
just
zips their mouth.
Yeah.
Well, we better not say anything because he's black.
Yeah.
That is the truth.
That's the truth. I know it
is. If a white guy come out there and act like that, we wouldn't, people get pissed off what they want. That's the truth.
Look at Saturday Night Live and these talk. Look at how they just scrutinize and just constantly, make skits, intentionally making fun of our president.
I wouldn't have a job right now if it wasn't for President Trump.
Exactly.
I'll tell you that right now.
There's so many people that would.
I mean, you may not. A lot of people around here wouldn't.
Exactly. Everybody's just, you can't get what you all, you can't always get what you want.
It ain't about Republican, Democrat, because I didn't like
George
Bush Jr. either.
Yeah, they need to go to one of these third world countries and live and see how, that way they can be reminded of how good they actually have it.
Spoiled, just like you said,
spoiled.
Nothing but, and it's not all of them.
Yeah.
Being American.
Majority, it's just, enough of this politics stuff.
I don't know, world, see, you started that.
I know I did, but it burns me up. I can go.
Piss on this. Let's start on the Anna Hunters right now. I've got the numbers.
I was thinking about some duck hunting, maybe.
Hey, I do want to say, we're going to go to duck hunting. And I'm not going to get on anti-hunters, but I'm preparing.
Preparing.
I'm getting prepped because I've been getting the numbers and I just wanted to spill just a few out.
Yeah.
In 1900s, Cody, Cornwell, give me the population of whitetails in 1900.
In 1900?
1900, population of whitetail.
Shoot, I don't
just
know.
Just take a guess.
Just take a guess. I mean.
Of all of America, North America.
Like, you're talking like, like 19,
just
yeah,
let's
early.
Say 19, okay. 00.
Not, okay. Shoot, probably a million. Would you say a million?
You're not far off.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. In 1900, 500,000 in North America. Now, what do we have right now in Kentucky? Do you know?
Ooh, ooh. No, I don't know.
In Kentucky alone, we're near 900,000 the last I checked.
Just in Kentucky?
In Kentucky alone. Now,
wow.
Let me look at my numbers.
Never really looked at
32 million in North America now. Somewhere
that's
around
just what they know of.
That they know of. It's just an estimate of 32 million from 500,000 in a little over 100 years. And that's what conservation did.
Exactly.
And I'm not busting anti-hunters balls or animal lovers. Because I'll tell you, and they should know, this is one thing. And believe it or not, they do listen to this. And you know that for a fact.
Oh, yeah.
Because I get little angry faces and little messages.
Yeah.
I love them. But I'm not mean to them anymore.
Yeah.
I've had to change the heart because this is why. Because I know they claim to love the animals.
Yeah.
But after looking at all the numbers, I've realized the anti-hunters are the cruelest people towards hunters that there ever was.
Exactly.
And I'll tell you why. Because 500,000 100 years ago, the 32 million now because of conservation. We know who puts all the money into conservation. Okay.
Exactly right.
I really honestly searched to see where the anti-hunters put any money towards conservation. So they want to get rid of us, the hunters that put the money into conservation, which have built it from 500,000 to, now that, I'm just talking about deer.
Yeah.
I'm going to go through all the other animals when I have someone on here wants to talk about it. 232 million. And they want to do away with us hunters. And what's that going to do to the animals they say they love?
Exactly.
Right back to 500,000.
Right back.
Despicable.
Yeah.
Make me sick.
Well,
don't tell me you're animal lover. You just don't like us.
Exactly.
Listen, the numbers are the numbers.
Yep.
Is that not the facts?
That's the facts.
Look them up for yourself, Jack.
Yeah.
So when you send a little angry face, you can kiss my ass. Because you don't even like the animals.
No. Truly, no. They don't.
That's the truth.
They don't. That's like,
make me sick.
Man,
they're so
like,
horrible.
It's just like, what was it? Christmas Eve. We was in West Virginia at my wife's family's having dinner, and we get out, and she lives in the country, and she got two deer coming in her backyard, and I mean, just live right there. I mean, she can walk out dang near, walk up to them. They're they're not very timid about
just her. Used to her.
And we pull in the car, and I go to get out of the car, and I look, and I mean, 10 yards from my car is a doe standing there just looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just automatically felt that, like, I was like, oh, I was like, look, you know, look, boys, look at her, you know, I was talking to her, like, what are you doing? You know, just, my wife's like, she's like, here you are talking sweet to this deer. She's like, and then you go out and shoot one. I was like,
you have passion for
it. I was like, I respect them. There's so much remorse there. Like, it's hard. It is hard. After it's all, you know, I'm doing it, but when it's all over and I look at it, I've always got that remorse, like, man, you know, he'll never, you know, and I thank the Lord for every kill, every harvest. I thank him for putting them on this earth for us, you know. And
but if it wasn't for us hunters,
exactly.
Whether you like us hunters or not,
exactly.
500,000, 1900, there would not be any deer now if it were not for hunters.
Yeah.
Because if it were not for hunters, there would be no value. And if there's no value on something, no one cares.
Exactly.
No conservation, you know. No game wardens, no wildlife biologists. Mm-hmm. That's where the money comes from. So whether you like us or not, we're the reason that there's animals.
That's what I recently have been, and what you've seen on social media, I've been taking care of some nuisance tags in Ashland here in the city limits for an elderly woman. Now, I've got to get back at that here, right here after the new year.
How many more tags you have?
I've got six more tags.
And that's to keep a healthy population.
Yeah. Yeah. The fish and wildlife come in. I'm telling you, she got 6 acres and I seen 25 plus in the first 5-6 minutes. I was in a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I brought 3 arrows with me because I was thinking, oh, I'll keep me. Shoot, I shot 3 in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I had to leave. I mean,
they're overpopulated.
I could have shot more.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but oh, man, like,
I mean, I had 10 right here in my backyard.
They eat her pumpkins, like, her decorations.
Yeah.
And like she said, you know, and like I told her, they can be dangerous too because you get that many does and they're in the rut and these bucks compete. Which, I mean, I don't know. They really probably didn't have to compete where I was at for does. But, I mean, you get a buck fighting right there in your yard, it can run through your house.
Well,
your car,
as we know, they continue to overpopulate like that. Mother Nature will take care of them
rather
than us.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
When she takes care of them,
exactly.
You can forget it.
But it was, my wife's like, oh, you need to take Rylan down there and get him his first deer. I said, nope. I was like, I'll ruin him. He's going to learn the value of hunting and what he does. I'm not going to take him out there somewhere we can just walk right by him and get climb, well, them watch you climbing a tree and then not even care, just walk by you and you shoot him. I mean, it's just, I kind of felt weird. I felt bad. I was like,
well, it's just, man,
that's
conservation. You have to.
And man, she was so tickled to death for me doing that.
Oh, sure.
But it helped her a lot. And all the meat is, I mean, I give all the meat because I don't have any room in my freezer for any more. And then I've got one I need to kill right here after New Year's for a man and woman she goes to church with that's wanting one. And I'm going to take it to the processor and she's going to pay you to have it processed for them and everything.
That's great.
And she's offered to buy corn to put out
because
the rules on the Fish and Wildlife says you have to hunt elevated.
Yeah.
And to where your arrows are going into the ground.
Yeah.
I can't hunt on the ground or a ground blind. I've got to be elevated.
Mm-hmm.
And like he said, you know, put a corn pile out and have them coming into one area.
Just
so you're shooting
safe.
It. Yeah. So it's safe. You're not, cause I'm telling you, man, I mean, if I shot through a deer and it hit the ground just right, I'd hit somebody's house. I mean, there's houses right by you.
Oh yeah. You show me. I'm going to look this up.
Yeah.
John Workman has sent me.
Oh yeah.
Well, and it kind of goes along with what you're talking about right here.
Yeah.
If I can find it. Some places you can donate your deer right here locally, which you know White's is one of them. Man, me and John's had a lot of conversations here.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. There is all kinds. Bear Creek Meats. I didn't even know about that place. This is Hunters for the Hungry.
Yeah.
Meat shops. Didn't even know there
was Opel's. Opel's is a part of that program. And I think White's.
White's, you have to skin it.
But White's only take in so many, I think. She was telling me.
Yeah, White's. Bear Creek Meats. I mean, it's
just
your local.
Used to be Opel's. I don't know if Cordell's is.
No, Cordell's.
Cordell's
don't do
isn't
it.
Part of it. But yeah, that's what. If I can't find anybody else to take any of the rest of the tags I harvest this year, that's where I'm taking them to Bear Creek, and I'm going to donate them.
Well, we need to fill our doe tags, and I haven't filled mine, and I'm going to, which I could use one more because I've been eating the fire of them roast.
Yeah. Oh,
so, I could, use one more, but I'll post this, in the comments with your, episode right here.
Okay.
In the bottom of it. So any of y'all, I mean, and this is, meat shops from all over Kentucky here that, John Workman had sent me, and I meant to post that. I'm glad you brought that up. Well, heading on to waterfowl. I have some more numbers. Now, you tell me how accurate these are. And,
okay.
You know, I looked at 2 or 3 different places, you know.
Okay.
If it's on the internet, it's got to be true, right?
I guess.
So, you know, we was talking about, you know, our money going to conservation. And you waterfowl hunters, I mean, put so much effort into the waterfowl and the ducks and so much money into it. Not just your hunting license. Not just your
federal stamp,
but there's several other.
Ducks Unlimited membership.
All kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They was talking about. I mean, they didn't even have a number. They just like 1900s, there was just a few ducks.
Yeah.
To now, you know, they're estimating around more than 44 million. Would that be pretty accurate?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you think about that.
Yeah. It's unreal, man. Real. I mean, and every year, according to Ducks Unlimited, I've got a migration app through where I'm a member through Ducks Unlimited. I get a number like a client or like a membership number, and I go onto the app, I can type it in, I've got a profile on there, and it gives me waterfowl, the migration reports from all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
what the ducks are doing. They're, I mean, they're biologists. There's people everywhere out there studying and following these as they're migrating.
And hunters' numbers pay for those people to do what they're doing.
You know, people, I mean, wetlands is the world's water filtration system. Without wetlands, man, we would have no clean water.
Created by all the money's coming from waterfowl hunters.
Exactly. And the money preserves habitat for the waterfowl to have. See, the waterfowl, they go back after the migration into Canada, and they've got the prairie grasslands of Canada where they migrate into. And during the migration, toward the end, they'll meet their pair. They'll pair up with a male and female will pair up. And some of them, I'm not real sure on exact, but I know like geese, once they find the pair, that's their life.
Mm-hmm.
Pair that, I mean, once they're mate gets killed, they'll never breed.
Wow.
They'll never breed again.
So you better kill them both.
Yeah, that's a good thing to do. That's why they've already bred. That's why normally the goose conservation seasons are extended in later. That way they've had the chance to breed. So if you do get the male or whatever, the she can still go back and lay. I mean,
I want to ask you this, because it's something that
I've not really done the research I should as much as I hunt.
We'll get into it more again. I mean, you'll be back. But there's something that I never noticed until this summer. There was several geese down there on the Ohio River, and they had all kind of little babies everywhere. I didn't know they...
Yeah, well, I mean, it's...
I mean, I'm talking about just not 10 or 12. They was several different...
Yeah.
Well, you get
a lot of like the birds that just don't go to Canada. They'll just come to here.
That's a good thing, I would think.
Yeah. I mean, they'll come here and live too and raise babies. But the majority of your migration, especially the ducks, they'll migrate back into them the grasslands and they call it the pothole region. And what it is, it's just big rolling prairie grasslands with big ponds. You should really look it up. Aerial photos. It's impressive, man. Well,
you know, just watching how fast they grow, because I've seen them every day.
Oh, yeah.
It's just unbelievable. Yeah.
Well, and they've got ancestry holes during these migrations. So, when these ducks are hatched and born, the DNA, the memory, the everything from their ancestors is hardwired and transferred into them. So, when they go to migrate, even though they've never been to the Ohio River in Ashland and Greenup, if their ancestors migrate to there, they can pick up and fly straight to it. They know exactly how to get there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they've got their pass, the flyways, the Mississippi, Atlantic, and the Pacific flyways. And we're in between that Mississippi and Atlantic. We don't really get a lot of numbers here. We kind of get what trickles off of each. But where we went last week to the Mississippi Delta, the Mississippi Flyway holds 70% of the entire waterfowl migration migrates down that Mississippi Flyway.
Mm-hmm.
70% of the 44 million, or whatever it was, that your number was. 70% of that comes through right where we was hunting.
Ain't that something?
Yeah, and a lot of people think, oh, they just pick up out of north and they fly south. Well, no, they fly just far enough to get out of the bad weather, and they stay. That's like the problem now we're having with finding ducks and shooting ducks in our normal spots. Well, shoot, they're still on Lake Erie. They're still on the Great Lakes.
Yeah.
Still, there's nothing's froze up the water up. The snow hasn't covered their food up in the fields. So they're content. They don't need to move.
That's what I've been told. They'll stay right there at the edge of the ice. Whatever it's called.
When we hunt here, I watch the weather around the Great Lakes and Columbus and stuff like that. And when you start seeing winter storms and snow and stuff, then you know it's getting ready to get good. Mm-hmm. We're going to get a push of birds. And that's the thing. And if it's not super cold, they'll loaf. They'll feed when necessary. They'll conserve energy. Like when it's super cold, they got to feed. They got to feed hard.
It's like a deer.
Yeah.
Anything else.
Like anything. Exactly. Like you, when it's super cold, what are you doing? You're sitting in the house, your toes by the heater, eating a bologna sandwich, watching football.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Or whatever. You're eating. You're sitting there getting fat. I mean, that's what I do anyway.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into your trip. I know you all had a successful trip.
And, yeah, it was
maybe
successful.
A few little you know, your old strategies, just little things. Yeah. I'm just talking about some, maybe some basic things for some people out there thinking about going out. And I know, you know, waterfowlers are secretive, but,
the key, man, is to get, is finding somebody. The best way, what I did, I knew somebody that done it.
Mm-hmm.
My dad never duck hunted, but I always wanted to do it. And, I got up with a friend that had done it. His dad had done it when they was kids. Justin Mulvaney was his name. I don't know if you know Tim Mulvaney.
I know that name.
Mulvaney and Sons, they had a plumbing kind of construction company.
I know that
residential
name.
Residential and commercial. Yeah. Well, Justin got me into it. We went to school together and, you know, it lit my fire. I mean, I fell in love with it right away, but because there's so much to it, man. It's so much hard work and little key factors that work to be like the perfect storm. Everything, all the stars have to align in order to have that good shoot with your buddies that hunt. You got to have the weather, the wind. Wind plays a factor with ducks. They can't smell you, but wind dictates how they land in a hole and where you need to be setting to be able to shoot them on that wind.
Mm-hmm.
And finding food, you got to be on that X. Like a lot of people think that duck calling, ducks fly by, you call, there's a duck.
Maybe we can draw something on the dry board, go live after this.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, yeah. They'll show the wind
and
where you would set up
according to
that wind.
And it's a duck call to me. I mean, it may mean something to everybody else, but what I've found, a duck call it makes your decoy spread. It brings it's another factor to bring your decoys alive.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing to make them ducks believe these decoys are real ducks.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you got jerk rigs, something, because if you look at real ducks when they're in a wad or in somewhere feeding, that water's rippling, son. It's moving.
Mm-hmm.
It's waves and it's moving.
And they've seen this game
a million times. Well, we got motion decoys. I got decoys, battery operated decoys, which are some WMAs in public land. You're not allowed to use them. But, we use them, you know, where we hunt, and it keeps that water. Jerk rigs,
yeah.
It's got a string with an anchor, three decoys tied to it. You pull it when them ducks are on them swings. You don't want to pull it while they're looking right at it.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're on them swings, when you're calling, you're pulling that. So when they turn back around, they're not really seeing them ducks move, but they're seeing that water move. And that's like, it's another thing.
Really
convince them these are real ducks.
Mm-hmm.
Come down here, there's food. And just like, that's what calling to me is. If you're not where a duck wants to be, you're not going to be successful anyways. You've got to find the X. And if you scout ducks and you find them and you watch them long enough, they'll show you where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you can't hunt them where that X is. Sometimes there's no cover, no way to hunt them, and you just got to try to get as close as you can and try to pull some down to you, you know. I believe you can pull some away from if you're close.
Yeah.
And, you know, you might get one drop in out of a group, come down, check you out. But to me, I'm not one of them, because I'll just be honest with you. I'm a decent shot, but I ain't no Jace Robertson. I mean, I ain't the best shot in the world. So I'm not very successful shooting ducks on them fast flyby passing shots. And a lot of reason too is I don't shoot enough like I should.
Yeah.
But I like to call and set them down, man. I like to have them in my face pumping off the water. That's the way I like to shoot.
Get an ethical shot just like on anything else.
Exactly.
And so, I haven't duck hunted yet.
Yeah.
But if one thing I've seen that duck hunters like to give each other heck about is Skybusters. You want to talk about Sky? Have you ever hunted with Skybusters?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever been a Skybuster?
We've all done it. We've all done it, getting excited. We've done it on a group of pintails in Mississippi.
Oh, my God. I've seen them fly by, and I don't know how in the world anybody has hit one of those.
I mean, they was working a hole, and we've never killed one because we don't really primarily get a lot of them.
I've seen them. They are fast, ain't they?
And we want to – yeah. Oh, yeah. They're – all of them, man,
all of them
are impressive.
Yeah.
But, we was like, man, now's our chance, you know, and we jump out of the blind to shoot, man, and they're 45 yards, which they make chokes and shell sit and stuff. Well, you can make those shots, but it's tough, regardless what the equipment or what you got. But, man, we, all four of us emptied our guns. We never drew a feather, you know. But what you're talking about, Skybusters, is these guys that, I mean, when, you know, I think if you're hunting public WMAs, and big courtesy to the hunter next to you.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got some ducks working and they're working ducks too, say they're working 25 birds and you're working two.
Let it go.
And they're coming down and those guys look like they're getting ready to smash some ducks. Be courteous. Don't shoot those
some
two ducks.
Duck
let them hit
ethics.
The water and let those guys get their chance. Mm-hmm. And when they shoot, when your ducks jump out, then you shoot.
Yeah.
And it's hard to really.
No, that's
make those
see,
judgments. You try. We try to make them when we can.
Well,
but,
see, I've never duck hunted.
But if I just
make sense
coming in, and these guys are got 25 getting ready to come in, mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh heck with him, I'm shooting this one duck.
Yeah.
You shoot, well, dang, that's you flare. Damn, they're gone. They're not going to mm-hmm. give these guys a chance to shoot.
Well, see, that's good that you. I mean, it's good to
shoot
stuff like that because I haven't duck hunted. Say I went over somewhere and done it. I mean, now I know.
Yeah.
You know,
you gotta try to be. I mean, but sometimes you may be keyed on working your ducks. You may not even realize they're working them.
Yeah.
And it's just part of it. It happens.
I mean,
but we always try to be as courteous as we can.
Sure. Well, that's what it should be. I mean, is there any other things like that go on that?
Oh, yeah.
And like I say, I know the guys that are going to be listening to you, y'all's duck hunters, y'all already know, but I mean, trust me, there's people out there that don't.
Yeah.
You might be thinking about getting it.
Well,
so it's good for them to hear this.
I was talking today with a friend on the phone about this exactly. And we got a lot of guys in the area that like to jump shoot ducks.
Yeah.
And it's legal. As long as your boat is not under power, you can run right up on them, shut your motor off. If it's not under power, you can just run right up on them, shut the motor off, and start shooting. Jump them off the water and shoot them.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's no different than
jumping a deer and shooting at it or something.
Well, I mean, just driving up to a field and getting out of a truck and shooting it. I mean, to me, there's sport in it. To me, you're not
hunting.
No, you're just trying to kill.
I mean, I'm not duck hunting. I know
guys that'll do that, and that's all they do. And they'll brag, oh, I killed 200 ducks this year. And I'm like, yeah, how many was animals over decoys?
Listen.
How many of those ducks was you trying to fool and make it a game, you know.
Anyone that has a passion
it's
for
just
something,
not fun.
That's not good.
You know, and it makes it harder for guys like us that they're actually hunting right because these guys are doing it through the week. And when the real guys are getting out on the weekends to go out and decoy and scout and hunt these birds, you've scouted a whole of birds through the week and you're thinking, man, I've got them this weekend. Then those jump shooters roll up on them.
Jeez.
So
I can take that big old boat of mine with that 200 on it and just fly up there, shut her off, and just go to blast.
Bye.
I don't know how that's even safe, to be honest with you.
Exactly, but it's legal. You can legally do
it's
it.
It's just something they
it's
have.
Like, it's like shooting a duck on the water. It's legal, but
it's unethical.
It's ethical as far as killing it because you've got a lot better chance of knowing that duck's dead without
this
crippling it.
It's not
a
sportsman thing
it's
to do.
It's just not a sportsman-like thing to do. And you know, we've done it. I've done it. I've shot them on the water. But, and my thing is, too, if I have one, we don't never try to work the birds in and land them to shoot them on the water. We've had them slip in on us before and not realize it. And bam, here they land in a decoy. One lands in a decoy. And you jump up to shoot and he don't jump.
Yeah.
Pow, we'll bust him, you know. But we don't. Yeah, you know what I mean.
Oh yeah. Well, you know,
there's things.
Whoever, if you're listening to this and you do that, I'm sure you already turned this off. So
I don't care much for them. I don't.
Hey, well, that's your, you know, that's your right. I can understand
I
that having a passion for waterfowl hunting.
Yeah, I just don't.
I can understand it completely. So you know, I know Big Hoss that you killed this year. That's your biggest buck. Of course, that other buck was a dandy.
Yep.
But Big Hoss is your biggest buck, and that's,
yep.
that's your number one trophy, I would imagine.
Oh,
I mean,
yep.
in all the ducks you took, is there one duck that you've harvested so far that stands out from the rest?
Yeah.
And talk about it. Tell me
the
reason.
He was a Drake. He's a Drake Wigeon. And gorgeous. They call them cotton tops. Well, there's a nickname for them. They've got a white feather patch on their head. But they're a real pretty duck, migrate out of Canada and, down that Mississippi flyway. And there's different species of widgeon too that migrate different ends of the United States and stuff. But the American widgeon, the one that I shot, I killed him on a WMA, on a Christmas morning.
Mm-hmm.
My wife's work schedule was, way it was. We done Christmas early, so we wouldn't do anything Christmas morning.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I just went out to hunt by myself, and I ended up killing a limit, six birds by myself in just a few minutes.
Oh, man.
And I killed that widgeon, and then, shoot, I'll be honest with you, I'd never seen one. And I hadn't really studied up on the species of them a lot either. At the time, I took a picture. I sent it to my buddy Jason. I said, look, it's like, hey, I shot a bluebill this morning because they've got like a bluish, powdered bluish nose.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling on myself here, but I was like, I shot a bluebill. He takes me. He's like, that ain't a bluebill. That's a gray quidgeon. I was like, yeah. Really? He's like, yeah, dude. He's like, that's pretty rare to, And, but yeah, that's the duck. I've got him in the freezer. I'm still trying to find that right person to mount it. I got my widgeon. I want to get a Drake pintail, Drake mallard, and a Drake black duck. I want to get it like a six bird limit.
Mm-hmm.
I want my widgeon, Drake pintail, Drake mallard, Drake black duck, a wood duck, and a Drake green winged teal.
So what's your dream?
I want to get all of those mounted, like on a piece of barn wood, like a dad mount that looks like they're hanging on a duck coat.
Oh yeah, that
looks good. I want to get all that.
That looks good hanging right there.
Like, yeah. Oh yeah. That look good anywhere.
I mean,
my number one duck I want to shoot is a Drake pintail.
Drake pintail. So I mean, have you even had a shot or seen?
We've had our chances, but it's just not worked out.
Yeah. So I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, Cody. I mean, I was looking, and like I said, this will be my first time duck hunting. I mean, if I kill one, I don't care. It's just the passion of hunting.
Yeah.
I love to hunt. And, but I know there's so many different types of ducks. I'm not going to shoot something that I don't recognize because I don't know. I mean, I know you're allowed so many hens and so many mallards and so many this and that, but I know there are some ducks, I guess, that, and I'll tell you
they got different limits.
And I'd seen a duck that, a younger guy shot. It's been maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I don't know what it was. I can't remember. He didn't know what it was, and he was excited. He posted it, and the duck hunters was eating his rear end. You should have known what you were shooting at. I can't remember what would that have been. And is there a certain duck that you're not allowed to kill?
Well, there's several different birds on the river.
Is there some that's just off limits?
Well, I mean, you got some that are considered kind of like a trash duck that nobody really.
Well, I know them, the coots.
Well, coots. And a lot of people get on to you for shooting like the common Mergan. Well, a lot of people frown on shooting some of the Merganser.
I mean, is it legal?
No, I mean, it's illegal, but.
It's just whatever one of them he shot, he got like, roasted. I was like, I didn't know he was a buddy.
Well, like I said, duck hunting got, it's like the guys bashing people for shooting little deer. I mean, duck.
Same thing.
It's got it too for shit like shovelers and.
It was a shoveler.
A shoveler. Okay.
That's exactly what
it is. I'd love to shoot a shoveler.
I'm about positive.
But some people.
Because I was wanting to say spoonbill for some reason.
Yeah, well, they call them spoonies.
A spoonie. Well, that's
some people just, it's just like our preference of shooting big deer. Some people just don't want to shoot them.
I mean, it's just crazy. You know what? They eat that kid. I doubt if he even duck hunted again.
That's crazy.
So I thought, I just assumed it must have been a little bird, but I got to think about that. I was like, it's got a green head on it I'm not shooting. Yeah. I got somebody with you.
Yeah. Well, it's
someone like you with.
Yeah. Me. Well, you hunt with my experience, and when you see them with their guns ready, you just ready to go with them. But primarily you're going to shoot mallards.
No, I know a place. Ducks. And I told you about it. It's a big old cornfield.
I was getting ready to talk to you about some of that sound. With all this high water, you need to get over there and check that out.
Well, it's flooding.
Man, we're struggling finding ducks, and we need to help each other out.
Well, I'll tell you, when I shot this deer right here
yeah.
in that cornfield, that's the last time I deer hunted there.
Yeah.
But That was muzzleloader.
Yep.
And that, so that'd been early October, and they was always them redheads down there. I mean, I wasn't even interested in duck hunting, but they was, you know, there would always be a few down there, even in October, that early. Is that uncommon?
Wood ducks.
No, it looked like a mallard with the red head.
Really?
Is that, I mean, I know I'm saying this on podcast, but I told Greg Hicks the same thing, and he's like, that don't seem right. And I was like, I just know what I see.
It don't seem right. Because normally that time you would probably be seeing some wood ducks, maybe, but.
Well, there was several different kinds.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't remember seeing.
Man, it could be anything, really. It's hard to say.
I'll show you a picture of it.
Yeah, we've killed some wild. I mean, we've killed some stuff too. I mean, shoot, we've seen big white farm ducks on the river.
Well, now, in that same place, like I said, it flooded in January, later January, it was really, when it got cold, like you said, in February, wow. I mean, I'm not even a duck hunter. I went down there to try to kill a coyote, and I was like, good Lord. That looked like something I was watching on TV.
Yeah.
And I noticed the geese would land out in the middle of that corn.
Yeah.
It seemed like, and then the ducks was flying in and out of this swamped, the flooded area.
Yeah.
Which is right in the middle of that corn.
Yeah.
We'll have to check
that
out.
Yeah, we got to.
Every time I've been down there, it's been like that.
Yeah,
in the late winter.
Yeah, well, we need to keep that place in mind because, man, that's the glory of it. The more you got, the more you
and nobody hunts there.
Yeah.
Nobody duck hunts there.
See, that's even, you're going to have people calling you left and right after, hey, man, let's go duck hunt.
Cody's it. Cody, Josh Bernard, sorry. That's it. First come, first serve.
But, yeah, man, it's, I always try to invite friends and take, it's fun. It's just the camaraderie out there is what I love about duck hunting. Mm-hmm. I mean, we eat good and cut up on each other.
And that goes back to
have a good time
hunting.
Yeah.
And having,
you got to worry about your scent.
I mean, you don't have the deer kinds of stuff no more, but you can still go duck hunting after deer season.
Oh, yeah.
And still enjoy
it's fun, but
that time
like of hunting. But like I said, we went to Mississippi last week and, a really good friend of mine I met through social media, Steven Sanders, he owns an apparel company called We Live for Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes some great stuff, man. Hats, decals, shirts. He makes college team based shirts. And I'm talking good stuff. I'm going like $36 shirts. I mean, good, really good. It ain't some $5 Hanes shirt you're going to go buy at Walmart and just print We Live for Saturdays on it. I'm talking, this is good quality stuff. But he's a big turkey hunter. He lives in Birmingham, Alabama. He's from Columbus, Mississippi, where he's from. And he grew up just right there, not far from Mossy Oak headquarters. I mean, and he's a big turkey hunter. And he messaged me. We was on a turkey hunting page on Facebook together. He had seen where I'd posted and commented and would message me. Wanting to turkey hunt Kentucky. And, he's like, well, come take me and my dad, want to go. And he's like, well, we can get us on, we'll pay you. And so I was like, no, you don't have to pay me. I was like, y'all want to come up. I said, I'll help y'all I can. Well, he's like, well, I got to give you something in return, he's like, you like to duck hunt? And I was like, oh, yeah. And he's like, well, we'll trade a duck hunt for a turkey hunt out. Like, yeah, sounds awesome. He starts sending me pictures, and man, these guys are hunting on the Delta. They're smashing them.
Smoking them, huh?
Oh.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Like, I mean, they get one blind down there. Last year, they killed 1,100 ducks in one out of one blind in one season down there. They was running 14 men through a blind a day, smashing limits.
Yeah.
Just their buddies. I mean, this ain't no outfitter. It's just their buddies. A buddy's at his own private place. He's got to farms and control floods the crops. Down on the Delta. Well, come in for turkey hunting, and of course, I don't know, for some people, did you feel like turkey season was a little tougher this year than normal?
Well, I had vacation, so.
It was just, man, the birds in my area just wasn't acting the way they normally do.
They was a little
bit. It was hard to get them to really commit to the calls like we normally do.
Oh, Rambo.
But Steven and his dad came in, and they killed a bird.
They didn't
do as good as I was hoping they would, but we had a good time, started an awesome friendship. Well, me and Brad Laney and Justin Mulvaney, hunts with me, we went down. And, man, we got down there, and this place, man, is immaculate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just right on the Delta in Mississippi. We were about 90, 95 miles east of Stuttgart, Arkansas, the rice and duck capital of the world.
Yes, he's in the Mecca.
Yeah. And, we roll up on this place, man. It's this big, nice lodge, cabin.
Oh, man.
Looks like a big metal garage.
Mm-hmm.
But you walk in, dude, and I'm talking big, like a big stone fireplace, bedrooms and bunk beds. I mean, showers, bathroom. I mean, daggone washer, dryer, dishwasher, full kitchen, couch, satellite TV.
Yeah,
I mean, just, oh, dude, I mean, it looked like something you would pay an outfitter to go stay in. And man, he invited us to come down for free. It didn't cost us nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And we went down and hunted ducks. And, we was going to try to deer hunt too, but ducks just wore us out, man.
Oh, I guarantee it.
Hunting, but, we staying about 15 minutes from the duck hole, which we was just outside the Delta. We drove into the Delta to hunt. And a good friend of Stevens, his name's Teddy Morrow. He owns a department store there, and he's on city council there in Batesville, Mississippi. And I met Stephen, introduced us to Teddy, and who owned the place. Really super good guy, man. Super good guy. And he just gave us a run of the place. You know, we're strangers, man.
You don't have it,
here, man, welcome. You know, make yourself at home. And let us go to his blinds. And he has corn and beans planted on his property. It's got levee systems.
Mm-hmm.
And, like you said, they had so much rain this year, he didn't have to flood the fields. The rain flooded.
Yeah.
He actually had too much water. He had to pull boards in the field to drain the water because, man, the ducks was just could go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we was hunting about a 100 or 200 acre patch of flooded corn. Right in the back, he has got a blind, and the tractor had just took a swipe before the water came just around that blind and give the ducks open water.
Mm-hmm.
And there was thousands thousands of ducks and geese, but like I said, like same thing I'm complaining about here, just the birds haven't really pushed down, they haven't had a need to, so
yeah.
We was hunting birds they had been hunting for 3 weeks.
Oh, so
they were stale, decoy shy, call shy.
Yeah.
And man, and the first 2 days in duck hunting, cloudy weather is not your friend.
Well, I wouldn't think so.
They can see so much better. It's just like you flying around without sunglasses, you know.
Or having sunglasses.
Well, it's kind of like on a cloudy day, you don't need sunglasses. You can see good. You can kind of pick that bright. On a sunshine day is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You want big blue skies, bright sun, because it's like you going out there without sunglasses. It's kind of
glared,
the water. And they'll decoy better. You can mm-hmm. fool them a lot better.
Yeah.
Especially stale ducks.
Mm-hmm.
And the first 2 days was slow because the birds were stale, wasn't working good. But, man, the last 2 days we got that nice weather. Man, we started getting into them. We started smacking. We killed close right at 40 birds.
Mm-hmm. You know what's killing me? You wrapping that stuff in bacon? Is that the best way to go? Mm-hmm.
I was going to bring you some when I come down here, mm-hmm. a package of duck breast, but I better talk to him. Because I'm afraid, because duck's one of them things, if you don't know how to prepare it,
that's what I hear.
You're not going to like it.
Yeah.
And I'll make it for you, and that way you can see it. But man, we made it, we seasoned it, or marinated in Allegro. It's a marinade overnight, and sauteed some peppers and jalapenos and some onions and mushrooms.
Oh, it looks
sauteed
good.
All that. Mm-hmm. Put that duck in there, stir fried it, kind of. Then we made some brown rice, seasoned and put that duck and the peppers and stuff over that brown rice. And made some duck poppers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen those.
Just like deer poppers, only they got duck meat on them. And yeah, man, we eat good. We eat good. It was a good time.
Well, I know that Greg Hicks, with his geese.
Yeah.
He grinds it up and does like a sausage and smokes it or something like that. Like makes it like a, you know, puts it in a smoker. I don't know what the hell, but it tastes pretty good. You know, brought in there.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah, it
Which
is.
I know that's a dark meat, but
it is.
It's good.
Well, and the key, too, if you're smokers, always a good way.
Well, you can smoke anything.
Smokers, anything's good.
Yeah, I smoked our turkey.
Shoot, yeah. Bologna. Smoked bologna. Have you had that?
We've been frying bologna here lately. I don't know why. Dude, it don't work. You. Like Loretta Lynn.
I'm telling you. No. But you can smoke.
Country people will know what I'm talking about. That,
exactly. That you can smoke it.
Yeah.
But in a smoker. Oh my gosh.
I'll tell you, that little electric smoker right there.
That's
I've got a
Masterbuild electric.
That's
yeah.
What I, it, it's easy.
Oh,
just throw
yeah.
them chips in there once in a while and
watch the temperature.
Set the temperature
yeah.
and
watch
set
the
time.
Smoke. And yeah, it's, yeah, it's
you, you can't beat it.
Oh yeah.
Well, man, I know we got a lot going on. You'll be duck hunting. I'm gonna try it, and of course I'm gonna be predator hunting. I had John Collins on. I don't know if you gotta listen to that. Like I said, the whole phone interviews are gonna change. Right now, the way I'm set up, like when I had interviewed Sean Jinks out of Iowa. He was talking about the party hunting, which. No one likes party hunting out there, but, I didn't realize, man, they get 30, 40, 50 people together. I mean, here we're talking about the camaraderie stuff, but I can see where it'd be dangerous. But anyways, there was a delay. And so I have a few different changes here where I can add two tracks, do things right. Like I said, just started as a daggone hobby.
Yeah.
And now we took off and talking to everybody across the world.
Oh, I know,
which
man.
Is fun. Like I said, we're getting to meet a lot of new people.
A lot of, man, some of my best friends I've met through hunting.
Well, right here, you know.
And right here, I've made a lot of new friends here in this year just through this podcast.
We
were
just talking to Jake Corngable before you came in.
Yeah, Jake, Brandon Phipps.
Brandon. You know,
John Workman. I always knew who John was, but I never met John.
John's a great guy.
Yeah, John's a great guy. And then Kyle brought you and Kyle kind of closer together. We always kind of knew each other on through that social media status.
Oh yeah,
because you're a local guy around here. If he kills good deer, you know who they are. Mm-hmm. But it kind of gave us a chance.
Josh and Travis Cliver.
Travis. Basil, Nick Basil.
Oh yeah, and I got to meet Nick You know, Nick held on there. He ain't big on social media about sharing anything, but believe it or not, he killed a big old buck.
Yes,
he
did.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So and it's just hard work, you know.
Yeah.
Sticking with it. And speaking of Travis, Ian Kelly, do you know Ian?
I know Ian. Ian,
he's going to come up and do a podcast.
Ian actually, this was yesterday, messaged me about duck hunting.
Ain't that funny that Travis is cousins of Ian on one side and Josh Bernard on the other?
Yeah.
It just cracks me up. I don't know why. I'm like, that's just weird to me. I don't know.
Ian's a really good guy. He's a big duck hunter. We're actually going to try to get together with Ian to shoot a few ducks or geese this year. He was out scouting. Mm-hmm. But, I just met Ian.
Ian's a big dog trainer. He's a duck dog trainer. And when he comes up, I was going to see if he'd talk. And he offered to come up. I just told him I thought it'd be best look once deer season died down. Because even though Ian's a big buck hunter, too. But,
You
know, we've talked so much deer. You can only listen, deer's been doing the same things for 100 years. There's only so many things you can do to kill them. I mean,
exactly.
You can only talk about it so much.
Yep.
I could repeat it. We could all repeat it over and over, but.
Oh, I can all. I was talking about it at Walmart today.
But, you know, it gets to the point. I like to hear everyone's different strategies, but it just comes down to the same.
Yeah, and everybody's
same things and timing and stuff.
Yeah, I like hearing everybody's success stories. And it's good to see somebody because. You know, it's good. It's just good for the sport. It's good for everything.
Everyone around here.
Yeah.
It's killed a buck they're happy with or had an opportunity at a buck.
Yeah.
Everyone around here.
Yeah.
That I can think of.
Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy, ain't it?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot.
I think it's this podcast is why.
Right, exactly. A lot of good informational stuff coming out. Ain't
unfortunately, a lot of them was, we'll take credit for it.
Well,
you know, Cody, have you and we'll get off here. I know we've been on here for a while, but you shot the ASA or like local just archery tournaments. That's another thing.
My dad used to shoot tournaments.
See,
all
I shot
the time.
Jenny Wiley down there years ago.
But I've never really shot the tournaments. I just go just for fun. I'll go down to Jenny Wiley or down there at Broken Arrows, actually just down the road from the house. Al Fannin kind of runs it and stuff. And then I'll go to Trophy Hunters out in Grayson.
Yeah, I love
that. I like to go out.
Cut my teeth out there.
Yeah, I like to go out there just. I don't really get into the competition part of it, but I just like to go just to keep my skills sharpened for
It's a family thing.
Yeah.
You can take your kids, your wife.
Yeah. They have that big smoker shoot at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
The big cookout and all that. And
I'm going to get back into it this year. Yeah. I'll tell you when I was, if you go to shoot, like Cody said, just go to shoot for fun. But, I would encourage you to take your score.
Oh yeah, we that do way, as a group.
That way you can. Yeah. I mean, it'll help. It should be all for fun, but it'll help you become a better shooter because you're going to try to beat your own score.
Yeah,
and you're going to try to beat your buddies.
Exactly.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
And I've mentioned before about being an ASA, and I was shooting a lot, and I was shooting up. But I lost a lot of arrows to get to that point. And I'd had a friend. And you're talking about starting people, at their own pace. But I'd had a friend and he'd shoot with me, but he wasn't big on shooting in front of people.
Yeah.
Well, Jackson, Ohio, sometimes they have pretty big tournaments. And I'd talk my friend in. Like I said, I'll shoot an ASA IBO and I was coming in pretty up top. And he's like, no, I don't like shooting it. I was like, listen, I said, we'll go out here and we'll go to Jackson and there won't be nobody there. He's not one of those guys.
Yeah.
That likes to do that.
Yeah.
In front of people. Well, okay, I'll go shoot. I finally got him talked in, go shoot Jackson with him. Well, we pull up to that gate and I'm telling you, they had vendors covered that whole field. There was thousands of people there having some big special shoot. And he's like, what the heck? And I was like, well, once we get out on the range, we won't see nobody.
Yeah,
but once I go in there, and Josh Bernard would know. He shot Jackson. I remember seeing his name down there back in those days. And I said, once we get out on the range, nobody would see us. It won't matter. It ain't no big deal, but it was to him. He'd get exotic. And so we get up there and we sign up. Well, a lot of people that was there had seen me at the ASA and IBO. So I had like a really small Tiger Woods following.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Yeah. He said, I ain't ever. I felt terrible. I was like, just don't pay no attention. I was used to it. But he wasn't,
Yeah.
And man, I'll tell you what, he ripped my rear end. I owe him about 6 arrows.
Yeah.
Now I think about it. Them things was expensive. But it's a good time. You just, start out at your own pace and have fun.
Yeah, don't worry about pleasing anybody, man. Just set your own goals and please yourself.
Please yourself.
Don't worry about nobody else.
And we've talked about a few tips, and I'll tell you what, we'll probably have an episode here, and I might get someone in here that shoots ASA and IBO regular that would talk to you and have a few tips that'll help you shoot your bow a little better.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of...
We
tricks
got Andrew
and
Carver.
Andrew said he would come in.
Andrew.
I don't know if he shoots the ASA and all that stuff a lot, but I know he knows his bows.
Yeah.
And, I'll have to tell you, I went in there.
He's the John Dudley our area. He knows his stuff.
Well, and when I come up shooting, it's just like Ford, Chevy, Dodge, some people are just die hard.
Yeah.
Well, back in, I was sponsored by PSC, which is at the time, PSC's been around forever, but, so Matthews, they were not my friends. You talk about division.
You
talk about Matthews, no Hoyt, blah. I'm not your friend.
Yeah.
I'm a competitor.
It's still that way.
And that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
But even at my age, I've been away from it since 2004, 2005, as far as competitive shooting. But I still don't want to shoot a Hoyt. So I went in the, just the borders there and Ricky was there, Muncie and Andrew was there, and Ricky, he said, Robbie, won't you shoot this Hoyt? I'm not shooting that hunk of junk. I'm not shooting that Hoyt. And I look at it, I'm like, man, I'm thinking, it does look pretty nice. So he sucks me into getting back here and shooting in the back. And I'll tell you what, it didn't have nothing on it. and I hate to say it, and them things are pricey, you know what I mean? But they all are now.
Yeah.
And
well, you get what you pay for.
I would tell you,
cases.
That bow felt good.
Oh.
And I'm going to buy a new one, and, you know.
I love
my Elite.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm going to buy me one more.
Yeah.
And that'll be my last one, especially if I'm going to shoot archery again.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to buy a Hoyt or a Matthews or maybe another Elite. I don't know what I'm going to go with. But it'll probably be one of the three because I tell you, Parker just, they just went in the dumps. Do you see that?
I know, Wayne.
And there's going to be a lot more.
I used to shoot Parker. I had a Parker, a Ultralight 35, I think is what it was. And, but I shoot a Bear. I shoot a 2016 Bear Escape.
There's another one that's been around forever.
Yeah, and, well, shoot though. I mean, they cut the path for everybody today, you know.
And Bear's a good bow. And they're all good bows.
Yeah, they all got their differences. It's what you like. I mean, me personally, I was one of those Matthews guys. I wouldn't shoot nothing but a Matthews.
Yeah, see, I've never shot my, just because
and,
I
yeah,
come up. Shooting.
And I become one of them. And, I got to the point too, and I was like, man, I'm gonna see an Elite. And I was like, shoot, man, I wanna check it. Fell in love with Elite.
Yeah, I love my old Elite.
Hey, it'd be a hard, if I go to anything other than Bear, it'll be Elite or Hoyt.
I'll probably go back to Elite.
I won't go back to Matthews. I've got my reasons. Mm-hmm. They're great bows, but they're just other things behind why, but, won't get into it. But, that Bear, I mean, it's different. I mean, you just have to shoot it. Mm-hmm. It's the draw cycle and everything's a lot different than what your new Hoyts and Elite and stuff is. But man, I shoot it well. I got it in 2016 and I've shot 5 Pope and Young class deer in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Can't complain with that. 2016 with that bow.
Can't complain with that, can you?
And it's just, results. I shoot it well. Yeah. I mean, which any bow, if you shoot, it's going to kill them. But I shoot the bow well.
Yeah.
And I've told all my buddies I'm buying a new Hoyt this year. I'm going to buy a new Hoyt.
Yeah. They're not.
See, they come around, I'm like, ah, man, I just.
Here's my thing.
I like
bows.
The Bear. I'm just going to keep shooting it.
You know, we could go buy a gun. And 20 years from now, that gun is going to be worth just as much.
If not more.
Man, when you spend, and I'm not knocking any of the bows, but if you buy any new bow, you're close to $1,000 or way over $1,000.
Way over by the time you set it up.
And then you set that sucker up. I mean, in 5 years from now, that bow's junk. I'm not saying
in
it's
two
junk.
Years.
Yeah.
In 2 years, you've lost half of what. I mean, I see the
Howl. If you don't buy a Hoyt or a Matthews, I would think.
You can buy the Howl on Sixes right now online. You can buy them for $500-$600.
Yeah. And what are them new?
They're over $1,000.
Oh, that's crazy, ain't it?
And
I'm
Matthews,
not saying they're not worth it.
And Matthews is probably, when it comes to selling bows, or like, when it comes to like reselling a boat, Matthews is like the Harley Davidson. They got the best, like, if you're going to just buy, sell, and trade bows, Matthews is what you want you're always going to be able to sell Matthews.
Yeah.
And even to people just getting into it, mm-hmm. they hear a Matthews, oh, man. Yeah.
Well, yeah. They've been the top for forever.
And it's just, it's changed.
It's expensive.
And
man.
It's
and
expensive. It's expensive, very expensive.
Back when I was living in the cave in the caveman days. Shooting with nothing, and you know, I can remember going into the bow shop, and I honestly don't even know what I had. Maybe it might have been Alpine, or something, Silverado Alpine.
I had an old Bear wheel bow. That was my first bow.
Well,
I don't even remember what kind of Bear it was. It was
a
Bear. It had the wheel, the about that big, the little black
wheel. Just a bow. That's all we cared.
It shot 40 pound. I killed my first deer with it, but my dad still shoots an Oneida Eagle.
Oh my gosh, I can't deal with that.
My dad has killed.
I know it.
A lot. I mean, and the Eagle was designed to shoot a heavy arrow at low poundage.
They're like the 33rd lever action of bows.
Yeah.
They've killed more deer than anything.
they have. I'm telling you. Yeah. And he's got a treadway longbow he shoots.
Mm-hmm.
Likes awful well. Dad's always shot instinctive.
Well, you know, those
shoot sights. Dad always shot instinctive, and that's what I started out instinctive. I killed my first deer instinctive with no sights, just a little flipper burger button rest.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that's why the old aluminum arrows and the Zwicky and Magnus broadheads.
Oh, old Zwicky.
Yep. I mean, man,
beating ourselves now.
Yep.
I'm older than you. And that's old.
They were old when I was using them, but that's what my dad had, and that's what my dad still shot. And it wasn't until I got up to being a big teenager and all my buddies had the newer bows and the extreme sights and the Matthews bows, and that's when I got into it. But my dad still rides me for going to sights, shooting sights.
Hey.
He still gives me a hard time, but
I know what you mean. Well, back in those days,
Dan
Fitzgerald, man, he was the big, guy that shot like that.
Yep.
Didn't use any sights.
Ted Nugent.
Well, Ted, yeah.
Ted does.
Does he still shoot?
I'm pretty sure he still shoots instinctive. I am not 100%.
Backstrap killing machine out there.
Oh, yeah. I like old Uncle Ted. He's out there.
I know. Sometimes he listens to me. I'm just watching his mouth.
He's, like we was talking before, I listened to the Joe Rogan podcast.
Well, he loves us, man.
Man.
He loves honey.
People don't realize how intelligent that man is just to hear him talk and his vocabulary and just.
Yeah, that's where he loses me.
He's a very intelligent guy. Yeah. He's a good guy to have on our side.
He's a good guy to have on our side. I love him to death, man.
Yep.
I love watching him. I mean, he loves to hunt, you know.
Oh,
well. Hey, you know, just speaking to Ted, I got to get back on the Anna Hunter for a second. This doesn't mean, because I've been forgetting to bring this up. So social media, of course. And I see, you may have seen it, this Australian had killed like thousands of cats. Did you see that?
Oh, yes.
Did you see it? Now, I don't want to say the number, but it was,
thousands
of cats. And I'm like, this dude right here has got some angry faces. And I was, even me, you know, I'm a hunter, but I'm thinking, damn.
Yeah.
Shooting all these cats. So I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to be on the Anaheimer side on this one.
Yeah.
And, so I have to jump in the page. And, you know, I was torn.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking this guy's a real.
See what's going on.
I'm thinking this guy's a real prick killing all them cats.
Yeah.
And then I got the other side cheering me saying, well, he's pissing off a bunch of Anaheimers.
Yeah.
So I got to at least see what's going on.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to blow your mind and you all can go find this yourself and find that post and look at the thread for yourself.
I never looked into it.
Okay. Well, I had to because you know how I like to mess with people, especially them kind of people.
Yeah.
So I get in there and you are not going, the Anna hunters are saying, well, I blame that on the owners, the cat owners for not having their cats neutered. And I'm thinking, you SOBs, you going to take up for his thick hand, killing these cats left and right? And I'm telling you, I mean, there was a few Anna hunters on there that were saying they were sick, but there was a lot of them on there that was arguing with like, the rest of the normal people like me, I guess, or myself.
Yeah.
That thought he was doing something. They was saying, well, it's the cat owners. That's their fault. Which I'm sure, I guess it is. But they can't rationalize what we're doing. But here they're saying, you know, you got to keep them in check. I'm like, yeah. What we're kind of trying to tell you on the hunter side.
Yeah.
We're keeping the population in check. You're taking up risk off for slaughtering cats. I mean, I was turning in circles. I didn't know what. I just threw my phone on the couch.
I'm gonna have to look at that.
Oh my gosh! When we get off here,
I would never have thought that would have been the outcome.
Listen, I was already getting high. I was like, oh yeah, this is gonna feel good, man. They're gonna be pissed off. I mean, this is gonna be great news.
It's gonna be comical.
Oh yeah, and here they was using the same argument or things that you know I'll see hunters tell Anna hunters. Listen, you know this is, you know what we tell them. We're controlling the population. It's like, oh, well, you got to control the population somehow. I was like, duh.
Exactly.
Idiots. Oh, my gosh. Get on there and look at, it's not hard to find the Aussie that's killing cats. So if you want to look into it, and look at some of them comments and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Blow your mind. Find it. That's crazy.
I had to get on there. I said, "How you all should be ashamed taking over this." I was Anna Hunter.
Oh, that is so crazy.
Oh, well. Well, man, Thanks for coming up again,
Cody. Well, yeah, man. Before I get off here, I want to give my buddy Steven Sanders a shout out.
We're going to do a giveaway.
With We Live for Saturdays gear. He hooked us up with, me and Brad and Justin, with a bunch of gear down there when we rode into camp. And, y'all need to look him up on Facebook. Give him a follow. We Live for Saturdays is the name of his apparel company. And, I'm telling you, man, he's took it up a notch. He's making some really nice stuff. I mean, hats, shirts, decals, koozies. I mean, he's working on hooded sweatshirts right now. He just started this company last year, but I'm talking top of the line stuff. I mean, I wear it every day, casual and hunt. I wear it every day. But we're going to give away a hat. Rob's going to give away a hat.
Yeah.
We'll probably get that going this, you know.
Well, he'll be giving away, he's going to let us do it on our page.
Yeah, he's
going to
let us do it. Yeah. Well, we will give him a shout out. So everybody make sure to go over and follow We Live for Saturdays and check our stuff out. But, Rob will just keep an eye on Rob's page there. You'll see the giveaway when it pops up. I'm going to try to give a hat, and I will talk to Steven. Maybe he may even throw a shirt in on it.
Yeah.
Later on.
We'll add it if he does.
If it's doing good, you know, and everything. So,
But
yeah, man, thanks for having me, Rob.
Oh, thanks for coming back.
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. Well, I mean, you was around when it started.
Yeah.
This would be the last episode for this year. And, you know, from here on out, like I said, there's some big things coming, and I don't know why I'm getting into it all, but. Might as well go with it now.
Yeah.
Roll with it.
Exactly.
Just send it. Ain't that what that dude says?
Send it. Just send it. Just send it.
That's what happens when I edit this stuff. Like my phone interviews. I'm just like, whatever. They've been listening to this. If you all have been listening to me this long, you know how terrible I am at that. We'll just send it.
Just send it.
Hey, I do appreciate y'all. This will be our last one for 2018. I mean, I'm humbled by all the people that's been listening to this. I mean, I see the numbers and I just can't believe it. I mean, there's a guy from Hawaii. We're going to have him on when I get this phone situation taken care of, and just all over the world. And, you know, let's just keep this thing rolling. And I'm talking about hunting.
Yeah.
I mean, I just want to promote hunting and share all y'all's stories like Cody's, and, you know, do the hunter profiles and do the informational stuff on the new YouTube channel. And it's just a lot of fun. And don't be shy, you know, if you have stories you want to share, I mean, get a hold of me. Get a hold of Cody. He'll get a hold of me.
Oh, yeah.
Cody, if you want to get on here and, you know, interview somebody, if some of y'all want to get on here and use this platform, you want to interview somebody, as long as you know, keep it cool, you're more welcome to do it. I mean, I don't care. This is just a platform for all of us. That's just the way I want it to be.
Yeah.
That's just what, and you know what? I can do what I want.
Exactly.
So, that's the way it's going to be.
America.
America, daggone it. Trump.
Trump train.
Daggone. LeBron, man, when you was in Cleveland, you was in that blue collar world, he wouldn't run his mouth near his bad. He's up there in LA now.
In LA, yeah.
Trying to freaking ban Rudolph and straws and everything else for crying out loud. I can't take you people serious.
No.
Good grief. I'm not even kidding me. Hey, for Cody Cornwell, Rob Michon, and Hunt Out Loud, Jake Corngable, we'll make sure Cody's here next time you're in, brother.
Oh, yeah.
See y'all later.